get home to my son, cause he's so special to me. I mean, I gotta see him, I need to breathe him. That's my baby, don't call me crazy. I love the studio, but I love him more. Let me give you what I got, so I woke up in the morning feeling fresh to death. I'm so blessed, yes, yes. I went to sleep stressed, woke up refreshed. I'm so blessed, yes.
Good thing it was, because they would have gotten embarrassed in prime time. Instead, they got embarrassed in midday.
That should have been on one of those public school access channels. It shouldn't even been on fucking TV. Well, I ain't gonna say TV. It shouldn't have been on any local channel. It should have been on one of them public access school channels. You know the one nobody really looks at.
Yeah, I know. That's what I say. You're an asshole. That's fucked up, dude. Damn, man.
I am a proud brother. I'm sorry. To get shut out 2 weeks in a row and get blown out 3 weeks in a row. Like, what the fuck is going on? What the fuck is Randy doing over there?
I don't know what S was doing. There's your answer right there. Crickets.
Shout out to the crickets in the background.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's October, but y'all still hanging around because it's not cold. That's what's up. it's pretty much what I said it was going to be. I mean, Maryland are who I said they are. This season, they probably won't get. They probably will have a 2-3 win season at that.
I'm still holding on hope, but my hope is starting to be like Calista Flockhart. It's getting thinner and thinner.
Wow.
Especially after the performance they had against Michigan this past Saturday. Like I said, my hope is starting to get thinner and thinner and thinner, and it's, you know, it's almost to a point. It's almost about to be seriously anorexic. You're at home.
I mean, it's not even the fact that you're at home. It's the fact that you're in conference play and you getting manhandled. I don't think Maryland can beat a Division II school. Hell, I don't even think they can beat a Division III school.
Now you're just going too far.
I don't think they can handle Morgan State. I don't think they can handle Bowie State. Hell.
That's fucking damn. This thing said Bowie State or Morgan State.
I don't even think they can handle Montgomery Community College football team if they still have one.
Do they really have one?
They had one when I was at PJ.
That's funny. That's hilarious. I mean, like I said, I'm still riding to Maryland, but like I said, my hope that they're going to have a successful season, go to a bowl or something like that. It's slowly fading. It's definitely slowly fading, and, you know, especially after the performance they had in conference play at home against Michigan, it was just like they weren't prepared to play. I will say this, man, Caleb Rowe is some garbage, dude. Like, he's got to be one of the worst collegiate quarterbacks I've ever seen. Like, this dude is just horrible. Like, every game he goes out and he throws like 15 million interceptions and shit. Like, for the second game in a row, he was so bad he got pulled out of the game, middle of the game. I'm like, dude, that should be an indication to not only you but to the coaching staff that maybe you ain't the one. Maybe you're not the one that needs to be leading this team. You feel me? Because if you get pulled out of a game two games in a row because you're playing so badly, that should be an indication that you're not that good. But, you know, what do I know? I'm not a coach.
You have a point there. I mean, I'm not even. I mean, I had ambitions of being one day, but let's talk about it. Yo, Merlin, where is the turtle power at? Real talk. I mean, I'm not fearing the turtle right now. It's like all I'm seeing is y'all getting served as turtle soup.
True.
I mean, this shit is
true. That.
I'm a proud Merlin. I'm Merlin born. I'm Merlin bred. I'm Merlin raised. Whatever. But to see the University of Maryland get blown out in any sport. Like, this football team is, I mean, this shit is, I mean, it's embarrassing. Like, shit. It's painful to watch. Hell, it's painful to listen to. It's painful to read this shit on the fucking phone app. It's painful to watch highlights on ESPN. Hell, it's painful to overhear a conversation of people actually seen the game. I mean, I just can't right now.
Yeah, it is. It is gotten to that point where it's like, you know, something. You know, Randy Epps has got to do something. He's got to do something to get not only to get this team back in shape, but also get his fan base to believe. Because right now, I'm pretty sure the fan base is loyal. And the one thing about college football fan bases is they are as loyal as they come. Because it's their school, it's their pride. They're going to ride with it no matter what. But, you know, right now I'm pretty sure that the mood on Route 1 up there at College Park is not very good right now. And I'm sure that something's got to be done to in order to bring that mood back up. Otherwise, it's going to be a really long season, and there's going to be a lot of empty seats at that stadium.
Yeah, Bert.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of empty seats there because people they're not gonna want to come out when it's a little chilly outside to watch a team get blown out like they've had been. So yeah,
I mean,
get it together, bro. Get it together, please.
I mean, I'm at the point where I'd rather see the lacrosse team play football for them as opposed to watch an actual football team play football. Like, it's the same.
Not the lacrosse team, though.
Throw your mascot. Throw in your water boys, your walk-ons. Throw in the chess team, the debate team. Hell, add a few fraternity brothers up in there. Something. I'd rather see that than see what the hell I've been seeing for the past 3 weeks with the University of Maryland Terrapins.
And we're here now. This is where we are.
Oh, we've been here. But
yeah.
I'm just now saying it now.
Right. I did want to touch on something else, though, outside of Maryland. I did want to touch on something else that, you know, that happened this week that, you know, that I want to go ahead and file under the no shit Sherlock, like we didn't see this coming section. And the Nats relieving Matt Williams of his duties as manager, as well as firing his entire coaching staff. And again, that's why I filed in the no shit Sherlock, like we didn't see this coming. It was announced on Thursday of last week that it was going to happen. So it wasn't really like it was a surprise. And given the fact that he had a very subpar 2015 season, a year after, you know, getting a division championship, yet get bounced out of the first round by the Giants in the and not only bounced out but swept. All the pundits, all the experts, everybody who watches baseball, knows baseball, had the Nats not only going back to the playoffs but winning the World Series this year. And poor management of the bullpen, you know, poor decisions on the part of Matt Williams, non-consistent play, you know, all that. And then I think the final straw had to be end of the season when Nats closer Jonathan Papelbon and Bryce Harper got into it in the dugout during a game. And then Matt Williams knew nothing about it and ended up sending Papelbon back into the game, and he subsequently gave up a couple runs that ended up proving to be the difference, and they lost that game. And I think that was the final straw for Mike Rizzo and the front office there, and they finally decided, okay, we you know, two seasons and nothing to show for it. You got to go. So now the search is on. search is on for a new manager, and yeah, it's going to be interesting to see which way they go in terms of a manager, because I mean they have, I mean the Nats have so much talent on that roster, from in the field to pitching, bullpen, you know, and no telling what they got hitting down in the farm system that could, you know, eventually become major leaguers. I'm sure they got all the talent in the world. They just need someone that can stand in that dugout and lead them to success. And Matt Williams just wasn't that guy. He wasn't the guy, unfortunately. So now they got to find the guy. They got to find a person that can lead them.
Oh, man. So since we're on fired coaches, Monday, the Miami Dolphins fired their coach, Joe Philbin. How shocked are you?
I knew that. How shocked am I? Let's see. How shocked am I? Let's file this one in the "it's about effing time it happened" file. Because, yeah, I mean, Joe Philbin's fate was sealed sealed 2 years ago when that whole Richie Incognito Jonathan Martin garbage went down. Right then and there should have been a indication to the front office that, okay, this guy right here is not doing it. That should have been an indication right there. But it wasn't. They let him stay on, and now look, you know, you got Ryan Tannehill, who during practice is going on his own practice scout team defense, you know, even though it's freaking practice, he's still going on them like it's a freaking game, and he shouldn't even be going on anybody because he still sucks. And, I mean, oh, man, it was just something that had to happen. Joe Philbin, he's a good offensive coordinator. He was a good coordinator. He was a very good coordinator. But when it came down to actually being a head coach, I mean, he had his moments, but at the end of the day, he just wasn't it.
Okay. Here's my take on this. Last season, he coached this Miami Dolphins team to a 9-7 record.
Right.
Where did that momentum go? Like, I mean, last year they came out of the playoffs. So now they're 1-3 in their first four games. They should be actually 0-4, but I'm not going to bring that up no more.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's really talk about it. Like, I mean, what the hell happened to the team?
What happened to this team? I mean, one thing that happened to this team is that, again, Ryan Tannehill is garbage, dude. He is garbage. That dude, man.
I look at this Miami Dolphins roster. I mean, they spent some money in the past few off seasons, from Darnell Ellaby, who didn't last long. They brought in the Dominican Sue this past off season. I mean, they caught up in free agency. I mean, Reg Jennings didn't work out. They trade for Kenny Steele. They draft Devontae Parker, who hasn't really been anything. I mean, what is really going on in Miami? Like, I mean, is their talent not being coached properly or groomed properly to be in a position to win? I mean, the Dolphins actually, they came into the season with one of the top-ranked defenses. I'm not saying that from this team. I'm not saying a team that can actually come together a game. Tannehill is not the greatest quarterback. He wasn't that coming out of college. He was a solid quarterback, but he was not that next guy. He wasn't pedestal as G3 and Andrew Luck. Hell, he wasn't even on the same pedestal as Russell Wilson. I look at this team and, like, I scratch my head. I mean, it's talent there. I mean, they run. I mean, they don't have much of a run game, but there's talent there. So what's really good? What's going down in Miami? What's up in Dade County? Who we got to know to get these answers?
Yeah, I like answers. I want them.
Oh, I need the answers. Like, I mean, seriously, what the hell happened from this year to last season? I mean, I know a lot can happen in 1 year. I mean, it is what it is. It's life. However, how the hell do you take a fall from grace like that? I mean, I had the Dolphins being one of the teams that actually gave New England some gold for the AFC. Now, no. I mean,
hold on.
I mean, I slept on the Jets. Now I'm looking at the Jets like, okay, they have a chance to at least go 9-7. Miami, not so much. I don't think the Dolphins can win a division game right now.
Well, right now, I mean, they're in the wrong division right now because the Patriots got something to prove, dude. So, and they're going around making sure that they prove something.
I mean, we all knew this. Once Tom Brady's suspension got fucking lifted. I mean, once he got his appeal, that was it. We knew Buffalo had a great defense coming in. You add in Rex Ryan. They add in Shady McCoy. They bring in Percy Harvin. They already had Sammy Watkins, Robert Woods. Then they trade for Tyrod Taylor. I'm looking at this Buffalo Bills squad and beat the shit out of a lot of people. I can see them winning 10 games, at least 10. I mean, they took a bad L on Sunday to the Giants, but this is still a young squad that has a lot of talent and that has time to actually develop. The Bills have a good window. They don't have a one-year window like most teams do. They got a few years to get there.
Yeah, the Jets, I will say, surprised the hell out of me today. Like this, you know, they've been a very surprising team. They've been just doing it, and you know, I seriously think that they, you know, if there's any team in the AFC East that could give the Patriots a run for their money, it'll either be the Jets or the Bills. Especially the Bills, because you know Rex Ryan's very familiar with Bill Belichick because he played him enough when he was the coach of the Jets. So you know that he's very familiar with him.
Well, I mean, he's already taken one L this season to Belichick, but I mean, it is what it is. All
right,
let's look back at the before picks. All right. Ravens versus the Steelers. You picked the Steelers. What's up with your boy Josh Scope?
Nigga, that ain't my boy, man. Something wrong with that Bama, man. Like, how that Bama just gonna be like? How that Bama just missing? It's funny though because I read an article that said that a lot of kickers have just struggled this past. Weekend when it came to either field goals or extra points. You know, this moving the extra point back and making it like a 30-plus yard field goal has really, like, made things interesting because, you know, it's no longer that chip shot guaranteed one-pointer because you can end up missing it, and boom, that one point can come back and haunt you. But, I mean...
I called it like I thought. I mean, I saw Baltimore winning that game. It is what it is. I mean, I saw the Ravens winning that game. Nothing against Mike Vick. I mean, I'm glad that he's playing now. I just didn't see Pittsburgh winning that game in that situation.
true.
Let's see. We both picked the Jets. I don't even want to talk about that game.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I don't know they play. All I know
I
is
I think with that
Brandon
move on.
Brandon Marshall got me like a bunch of fantasy points though. That's all I needed to worry about.
Let's see.
Where we at? Yes. The Colts won. They beat Jacksonville by 3 in OT. We both picked the Colts. Are you surprised that that game was that close?
Yes. Well, no, because of the fact that Luck didn't play. Luck didn't start.
I mean,
Luck didn't play.
I'm not even going to say because Luck didn't start, because Luck came into this. Luck was already 0-2, 0-3? So it's like I can't even say because Luck didn't start. I'm going to say because, one, it's a division game. Two, the Jacksonville Jaguars aren't the best team, but they're slowly getting to the point where they can play respectable football against anyone.
Right. But,
so, I'm not gonna throw too many stones at them.
No, I feel where you're coming from, though.
Let's see. The Bills lost to the Giants. We both picked them. We both lost on that.
Yeah,
we both picked Carolina. And he lit their asses up. Damn. Yeah, we both picked Carolina over Tampa Bay. I mean, no further explanation with that one. We both picked Atlanta over – no, I picked Atlanta over Houston. You picked Houston over Atlanta.
Yeah, so much for that one.
Yeah, that was one of those games that you wish there was a mercy rule in. I mean,
yeah,
the
and then we got to play that same team this coming week.
Oh, we're going to talk about that later in the show. Let's move on. We both picked the Raiders. And I believe they failed us miserably.
Yeah, I'm about to say, didn't the Raiders take that L?
Yeah, they did.
That's the last time I picked them motherfuckers.
The Bengals are undefeated. Still.
Yeah, but that ain't going to last forever.
It won't, because it's the Bengals.
Exactly.
The Chargers won over the weekend. Phillip Rivers finally showed up. Thank you, Jesus.
About damn time.
Two of my fantasy teams actually depend on him.
Damn. That's funny.
We both picked Arizona over St. Louis, and we both lost.
I thought Arizona won that game.
No, they lost to the Rams. The Rams gave them their first. The Rams gave them that L.
Oh, my God. They took an L to the Rams? Come on, man.
Of course, Denver won.
Of course.
Green Bay won.
Of course.
We both picked the Saints over the Cowboys. So let's talk about the 80-yard touchdown now.
Thank you, CJ Spiller.
Shout out. How in the hell does the overtime game end in the first 15 seconds?
Overtime rules. The overtime rules.
I mean, I understand that. However, how in the fuck do you let a running back who gets lined up as a receiver, burn your fucking DB and take that shit 80 yards to the fucking house. Like, fucking seriously? Like, I mean, I had to watch that play over and over again. Like, how does that happen? Where was the defensive call at? Like, I mean, who thought that play call was actually going to do anything? I mean, I'm not a Cowboys fan, but how in the fuck do you not even make it past the first minute in OT?
I'm going to tell you something. Cowboys, man, they can't catch a break for nothing, man. Lance Dunbar, one of their running backs, is done for the year, tore his ACL and MCL in that same game. So now they're down to just Joseph Randall and another running back or something like that. But
they actually have three. They have Randall, they have Darren McFadden, and they also brought in what's that Batman name from Seattle? Christian something. Can't remember his last name.
Darren McFadden. That soft son of a... Yeah. Like, I'm still bitter about him because I had him on my fantasy team as one of my top picks, and he ain't do jack shit except stay on the bench injured.
Yeah, that was pretty much his career in Oakland.
Yeah, but I guess he's trying to revive that in Dallas. I don't see how that's going to work out, but whatever. Good luck to him. Hope he doesn't, get injured trying to, walk off the bench or something like that. I don't know.
Ain't doing that no more. Yeah. Honestly, he's been injury prone his whole career. Nothing will change that. Nothing will change that, no matter where he goes to. I mean, he can be behind the NFL's best offensive line. Anyway, he can be behind that offensive line, and that still won't save his career.
Just like a certain other running back was behind one of the great offensive line, now he's on a subpar offensive line and is getting exposed. I think you know who I'm talking about.
Yes, I know where you're going with this. I feel kind of a tad bit differently on that. I mean, I can't say he's getting exposed too much. He doesn't have offensive line. No running back can survive behind that O-line. I look at the offensive line that the Eagles have. It doesn't matter who you are. You're not going to survive behind it. I mean, people say, well, Shady did it. Shady had some success with it. At the same time, he had moments where he struggled by that O-line. So last year wasn't his best year. Wasn't his best season.
Especially coming off being a rushing champ.
Exactly. So you put in that X factor. Okay, Shady had to do all this just to get decent, y'all, just to have a decent season. Imagine what a running back like DeMarco Murray would have to do just to break under 1,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to be in the 900s. I mean, right now, if you total up the first four games, I don't think he's at 100 yards yet. Matter of fact,
he
isn't.
And the fucked up part is that he's on my fantasy team and he ain't doing jack squat for me. Matter of fact, I asked the question last week. I said, should I start Doug Martin or should I start DeMarco Murray? And basically the consensus was DeMarco Murray, and Doug Martin was sitting on my bench with 19 points. I was like, God damn it, that's the last time I'm going to just – that's the last time I'm doing that.
Nobody expected Doug Martin to have a game against that Carolina Panthers defense. I mean, I didn't think DeMarco was going to do much better going against the Skins defense, but nobody expected Doug Martin to break for over 100. I mean, yes, Tampa got smashed, but he had a good game. I mean, He outperformed DeMarco in one half. Against a tougher defense. Maybe Carolina has, I mean, maybe Tampa really does have a respectable O-line.
Maybe. Either way, I'm just, you know, the Eagles, do you know, this is funny too, did you know that after the Eagles lost to the Redskins on Sunday, that what was trending on Facebook and Twitter was fire Chip Kelly? Like, Eagles fans want Chip Kelly ass gone. Like, this is quicker than the way they wanted Andy Reid ass gone. But the difference was, at least Andy Reid was winning and taking them to the playoffs. Chip Kelly pretty much destroyed that damn team, and now they're struggling.
Well, Chip Kelly is trying to bring in his own team. He's trying to create, he's trying to build his own team. I mean, he got rid of all of Andy Reid's stars, including two of Andy Reid's offensive linemen. I mean, that's hurting. That's really hurting Philly in every area of the game. I mean, you get rid of Nick Foles. You got rid of Shady, Macklin, Deshaun, two Pro Bowl offensive linemen. I mean, what you expect?
The only,
he better have one hell of a draft.
It's funny because the only Andy Reid holdover that's left is the racist.
Riley Cooper.
Yeah, Riley Cooper, the racist. He's the only holdover left. He's the only one left.
Well, I mean,
he's a non-factor.
I mean, you still got Brent Celek and Zach Ertz, even though they don't really get the ball as much, but still. I mean, they're still there.
Yeah, they're still there, but I mean, yeah, you just said it. They're not getting a lot of touches. They're not making much of an impact in this offense. And I'm still, you know, convinced that Chip Kelly doesn't care much about his defense because he continues to have this high speed, you know, this fast paced offense after, you know, especially when his defense has been out there for a long time getting grinded and grinded into the ground. Instead of slowing it down to give his defense time to rest, he's still out there, you know, having his offense play fast. And it's like, dude, like, what are you doing? Like, your defense is going to be gassed before the first quarter is even over. And then you wonder why they're going to end up giving up big runs and big plays because they're gassed. They haven't had a chance to rest because you're going out there and doing, you know, four-play drives taking 30, 40 seconds. It's like, come on now. Like, give your defense time to rest before, you know, give your defense time to rest. I know you
see,
used
that
fast paced crap when you was in Oregon, but that shit though you're not supposed to be doing that in the NFL, dude.
No, here's my problem with this. Okay. You come into the NFL and you want to run your college system. So you bring in some great college players that you coached and played against. You slowly break down the team that you walked into to try to have your own team. Chip Kelly is an offensive coach. He doesn't give a rat's ass about it. He's at the point where he figures, well, as long as I can win by scoring this amount of points, I don't care what my defense does Chip Kelly's mindset is just not focused on the overall team. The more your team moves up and down the field quickly, not allowing your defense to catch a breath, is what has burnt his defenses out the past few seasons, past couple of seasons. I I mean, will he get it together? I don't know. That, I mean, that will be, I mean, that's something that we will have to just see.
It remains to be seen, I'll tell you that much. But, I mean, it's just, he just needs to just realize, dude. It's like, yo, you can't sit here and, you know, want to be fast-paced and have these short possessions, especially after your defense gets, you know, broken down. Like, you play a team like, you know, you play one of these teams that like to run a lot and like to, you know, do a lot of running and burn down the clock and everything like that. And you're gonna really have your defense out there, you know, on an island, because they're going to get gassed trying to keep up with that offense, and then they go on the bench and be like, okay, we get a break, cool. And then next thing you know, by the time they sat down, they had the Gatorade, and they started talking strategies, oh, shit, we got to go back out there. The team just had a 3-and-out, or they didn't have a 3-and-out. They just had, like, 5 plays and went, like, 2 minutes and either scored or got picked off or something, you know. And it's like, come on now, like, give your defense something of a rest so that way they can be more effective for your team. Otherwise, you're just going to be struggling. The eternal struggle.
Where do I go now?
I do. There is something else we need to talk about.
Let's actually go down on the Eagles defense. On Sunday, they gave up a 90-yard drive to lose their game to the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, I'm about to say, like, where did Kirk Cousins come up with that game winning drive though? Like, I did not know he had one of those in him.
Honestly, I'm gonna credit a lot of that on play calling, because I mean, they put Kirk in the perfect position to be able to drive down the field. They did something a lot of teams wouldn't have done in that situation. They ran the ball. I mean, they had plenty of time. They had plenty of time to score. They took time off the clock. A couple more got hot for a second. He did enough where the passing, where the passing game opened up. And they was able to nitpick at that Eagles defense that was worn out. What are your thoughts on Sunday's game as a Redskins fan?
I will say this, like, the Redskins honestly should have lost that game, and here's why. Because they went into the half up 13-0, okay? Up 13-0.
Yep.
They got outscored 20-10 in the second half. They just happened to already had basically a 2-touchdown lead before the half. Otherwise, had it been tied, I'll say this, had the score been tied going into halftime, and the same thing happened where Eagles outscored them 20-10, we're talking about a 10-point victory for the Eagles. So, once again, it goes back to the whole, you know, playing a full 60-minute game, not a 30-minute game, not a 15-minute, not a 45, full 60-minute game, and they didn't do that because they gave up 20 points in the second half to the Eagles. And again, had the Redskins not already been leading by 13 points, we'd be sitting here talking about how the Eagles beat us. So, to be honest with you, the Redskins should not have won that game, but they did. So now they got to go up against an Atlanta team that's red hot. Looks like everything is working for them, and they're in the dome. They're in the Georgia Dome. So, I just this is one of those situations where if the Redskins want to win, they got to basically have like an out-of-body experience game in order to win. And I just don't think they have it in them, to be honest with you. I mean, I like the fact that,
yeah,
you know, that Andre Roberts didn't play. He was inactive, which is good because that dude couldn't catch a cold in Alaska butt naked.
Wow.
And, you know, Jermaine Crowder was able to get out there and do his thing and show that he, you know,
I say Jameson.
Jameson Crowder was able to go out there and show his stuff, you know, as a slot receiver and everything like that. Like, I seriously think that, you know, Andre Roberts, time is done as, you know, receiver here in D.C. because I think Jameson's pretty much got that spot as a slot receiver on lock.
Well, technically, he had that spot locked when he was drafted. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. There was a reason why he was selected in his past draft. I mean, the Skins were hurting in a slot receiver department. I mean, they knew Andre Roberts wasn't dependable. They knew that he had problems catching passes. I mean, a year ago, this was a guy who was actually bought in to be the number two receiver before Deshaun Jackson got released from the Eagles and became a Redskin. So you're telling me that there was a possibility that this guy could have been our number two when he can't even pick up the slack as a number three? I have a problem with it.
He can't even pick up the slack as a slot receiver. It's like, you really thought that he was going to be number two behind Pierre Garçon? Like, what?
I mean, originally that was the reason why he was born here. He was originally supposed to be the number two. Because he came before Deshaun came.
Yeah.
I mean, he had some success in Arizona. I mean, he had some impressive numbers. I mean, honestly, he thought he was going to be able to duplicate that here. Somehow he hasn't. But here's how I'm looking at this game, though. I'm looking at this game like I looked at the first four games. Why can't the Skins play a full 60 minutes? It's like as soon as halftime hits, third quarter kickoff, the Skins become a different team. It's like they go back to shitty Redskin football. I mean, everything from execution to play calling to decision making, like from the top to the bottom, it's horrible. I'm going to need this team to be able to consistently dominate a game, to actually give a full 60-minute effort.
Right.
It needs to be seen. I can't blame the defense because, honestly, the defense has been put in some rough spots in those third-quarter situations. Either turnovers, stupid penalties, dumb coverage calls, or the simple fact that the offense hasn't been able to move the ball. All this goes under adjustments that should have been made at halftime. However, for the fourth straight week, Jay Gruden let another head coach adjust, outcoach him in the third quarter. Shit, we got, oh, damn, wait, we got about 8 minutes left.
Okay. We've gone through a lot today, man. In a short, and we done got through a lot. Like this show went by fast, dude.
It really did. I need to get into my rant.
Yeah, man. I'm
gonna go ahead and do
about that.
Yeah. Hold on. There's one thing I gotta do before I do this because I actually got to sit on my patio for this one because I might get a little loud. Okay. So, what day was it? I want to say yesterday. So, Stephon Marbury went to Twitter and social media and said that You said that Michael Jordan has been robbing good kids ever since. Oh, my God. He literally said that. That whole thing got underneath my skin. But not as bad as all the people sharing Stephon's comments or the links that had his comments on it, praising him like he said some kind of truth. Like he said something that was amazing. Like he said something that was breathtaking. Let's be real here. How can you blame one person for the actions of others? I mean, let's go on to this. First of all, for those who don't know who Stephon Marbury is, he is a former NBA player that currently plays overseas because no team in the NBA no longer wanted to deal with his ass. This is the same guy that the New York Knicks paid $20 million to stay the fuck away from Madison Square Garden. This is the same guy that was so selfish when he left Minnesota because he didn't want to play sidekick to Kevin Garnett. Let's really talk about this, though. Last week, Stephon Marbury announced the relaunching of his shoe brand, Starberry. The following week, saying that he's been robbing hood kids ever since. How can one rob hood kids? Everyone has a choice to buy his product. He's not forcing you to buy it. You choose to buy the product. He's not forcing nobody to take lives or to rob anyone. People choose to do this shit. Everyone has choices in life. Everyone needs to be responsible for their own actions. Instead of putting blame on someone else. People say Jordan needs to be accountable for what? The fuck he needs to be accountable for? He's not the one out here doing this shit. All he doing is pretty much selling a product. Just like North Face. Just like the iPhone. Just like cars. Just like fucking any electronic that's out right now. He's selling a product. And the fact that he had the nerve to say that he's the reason why people are getting killed, and people actually agreed with it. People must have forgotten that people have been getting killed over material things for centuries. Not just now, but for centuries. From land to money to oil to diamonds to gold to cars to North Faces, shoes, video games, etc. This did not start with Jordan. I need people to stop that bullshit now because that's what the fuck it is. Absolutely motherfucking bullshit. People need to take more accountability on how they raise their kids. They need to take accountability on the values that they teach their kids. The value of life is not material things. You got kids nowadays who weren't even born when Jordan was playing, rocking his shoes, don't even know who the fuck he is. Who you think exposed their kids to Jordans? The parents. If it wasn't the parents, it's the kids going to school saying somebody else with them. But my thing is this. People need to take accountability for the choices and decisions that they fucking make instead of pointing blame at celebrities or looking for celebrities to actually be responsible for what's going on in the streets. Jordan has no control over what the fuck other niggas do. It's a fact. No one does. I mean, I'm just sick and tired of people fucking attacking other people for the shit that they cannot do. I mean, what the fuck do people want Jordan to do? Jordan can stop selling Jordans tomorrow, and people will still get robbed and killed for something else of material value. It's not Jordan's fault that people's priorities are fucked up, where they will put material items over paying their bills or paying their rent or making sure they got enough money to get them to and from work. It's not Jordan's fault that all these young parents coming up want to put their kids in all this expensive shit. It's not Jordan's fault that all these people rather keep up with the Joneses than invest their money into their own businesses. People talk about Jordan doesn't do nothing for the community. Jordan has paid his dues. He has gave back to his high school. He has gave back to the University of North Carolina. He has given back to his old neighborhoods. He has done his own charities. He has sent kids to college before LeBron even picked up a fucking basketball. All celebrities are only obligated to give back to those who they choose, who they feel they are obligated to give back to. He's not obligated to reach out to every single kid in the world. No one is. No one can reach out to everyone like that. You in an era where you have role models like Lil Wayne and fucking Kim Kardashian. The fuck are they doing? Instead of people looking for celebrities to be role models to teach their kids responsibility, how about those same people who actually do that? Educate your own damn children. Be your own child's role model. And y'all want to mention giving back to the community? How about you? What the fuck are you give back to the community? Who the fuck are you helping? Who the fuck are you volunteering for? Who are you helping get through college? It's easy to point blame. Like, something about people, especially in this race, we refuse accountability for ourselves. This shit is fucking sickening. I mean, it's to the point where it really got underneath my fucking skin. Like, how the fuck can you go ahead talking about some Jordan don't care about nobody? First of all, Nike owns Jordan. Jordan doesn't control his release dates. Nike does. The price of his shoes, Nike controls it too, just like they do for LeBron, just like they do for all Jordan brands, just like they do for Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, Carmelo, all of them bammers. Jordan has no over that. Jordan brand is just Jordan's name on the shit, but it's really ran by Nike. You don't see these same people lynching Nike. You don't see these same people that's lynching all these other materials. You don't see Apple getting lynched. You don't see North Face getting lynched. So this shit has to stop. I actually said more. I actually typed this rant. It's going to be on the Two Sides of the Story app and the Skybox page.
Yeah, so definitely check that out, y'all. Feel better now you got that out?
I mean, it's still some that I didn't get off, but everybody can read it.
Yeah. Well, that was fun. That was good. You find out Chill's rant's going to end up replacing Chance rant. What kind of shit is this? No, I'm just kidding.
only time I throw a rant is when something really gets to me. But I feel as though that I actually got to speak my mind. That was a situation where I actually, like, who the, come on now. Stephon Marbury did this shit for publicity. For real. To throw Jordan's name under the bus so he can influence parents to buy his product. Nobody wants your shit because your shit has zero material value. And niggas ain't buying shit that doesn't have material value. In the discussion. Any closing remarks, Sean?
No, I think you just pretty much said it all. I mean, yeah, you just pretty much said it all. I can't wait for week four. Week five. What week are we in now?
Week five.
Dude, I don't know. Like, my days and weeks are all just, like, off right now. So, yeah, I can't wait for week five. I'm going to try to keep an eye on the Major League playoffs to see what's going on there. So, yeah. And
shout out to the Astros.
Yeah,
they won 3-0.
Nice.
In New York.
That's what's
up. Yeah, besides that, it's been real, y'all. We had fun tonight. We'll catch y'all next week. It's Chills, Champ, Skybox. Tomorrow night, we slowing it down for y'all. On my chat.
Yeah, buddy.
Friday night, but of course you have his and hers. None of your business. None of their business. Sunday, we have the refresh. We'll see y'all next week. We'll actually see some of y'all tomorrow on my chat, but yeah. We'll see y'all on the Skybox next week. Holla.
Peace.